Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lynn S. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada, and I will be moderating for us this morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 3rd, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter There is a Solution, page 29, the first paragraph. Further on, clear-cut directions, reading through two paragraphs, ending with what has actually happened in their lives, and we'll be commenting on both. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Barbara W., 12 traditions, Susan G., and readers of the text, Heidi B., Larry K., and Vanessa G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, July the 2nd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 21535, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 21536. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Barbara W. will be reading the 12 steps. Good morning, Barbara. Barbara, please press star 1 to unmute. Okay, Vanessa, can you pick up for us, please? Oh, there you go. Hi, Vanessa. Please go ahead.
Okay. We're doing the steps, right?
That's right.
Okay. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered overeater in New Mexico. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives
had become unlivable. Okay, I'm muted.
I'm sorry. Toby K., are you there?
My phone wasn't unmuted. I'm sorry, group.
Okay, so we're back on board then. And who have we got? Is it Toby?
It's Barbara.
It is Barbara, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah. Number one, my phone wasn't unmuting. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our life became unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching, fearless, moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitting to God and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. And number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. Six, made direct amends to such people whenever possible. Would injure them or others. Would injure them or others. Nine, made direct amends to people whenever possible, except when to injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, properly admitting it. And 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge and the will and the power to carry that out. And 12, having a spiritually awakened as the result of these steps, and we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Barbara W. And the 12 traditions, Susan G. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Lynn, and good morning, everyone. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized. We may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 29. We're reading the first paragraph, further on, clear-cut directions, reading through two paragraphs, ending with what has actually happened in their lives. And Heidi B., would you get us started, please? Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Heidi B. in New York. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. Each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has actually happened in their lives. Yeah, there's so much here. Thank you for allowing me to be of service today. You know, the first thing that pops out, of course, is that we are given clear-cut directions. And, you know, prior to getting some real recovery, I had read the Big Book, you know, in the past, and I really was reading it like a storybook, and I found it helpful, but I completely missed the real purpose of this book, which is that it is an instruction manual for how to find a relationship with God, which is the solution to our problem. And, you know, it starts all the way from, and I had missed this, you know, for all the years that I'd been in before, but, you know, it starts from the forward to the first edition where it says, you know, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered. And then on page 20, you know, it says, you might be asking, where is it? How, you know, how to get over it? What do I have to do? And it says the purpose of this book is to answer such questions specifically. And then we come here and it says, you know, that clear cut directions are given. And when I was able to read the book with that set of lenses, looking at this as a clear set of directions, it just completely like changed my life. Like I all of a sudden could see that Bill was writing very specifically what they did and what didn't work for them. And as we go through the book and as we, you know, continue to work the steps in the order that they're outlined in this book, you know, we're told exactly what we need to do. And it's, you know, it's a recipe, as I've heard it said many times, it's a recipe that if we follow, we will get the same result, of that, you know, that perfect, whatever, you know, for us here, a miracle, in the end. And, you know, and that's been my experience, is I have seen that the people, you know, that we follow these instructions and we get what they got. And then, you know, in the next paragraph where it talks about the personal stories, this was, you know, I learned that this is how we share and why we share, so that other people can identify in, and they provided this, this template for us of how to do it. You know, how have we established our relationship with God, whatever that means for us. And the fact that all of our stories, although we have similarities in many ways, are also very distinct. And that gives, that gave me, and I think that it gives those that come after us, that hope and that promise that no matter how unique I think I am, because I was always terminally unique, I can have this too. All I have to do is follow the instructions that are outlined here. And I'm just so very grateful for that. I'm so, so grateful for the people that taught me to look at this as a set of directions, as the instruction manual for how to get a relationship with a higher power. And I will end it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for starting us off, Heidi B. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Priscilla.
Rachel K.
Florida.
Rachel
Kelly.
K.
Yes.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I'm sure I missed some people. I heard Priscilla H., Rachel K., and Bonnie B. Who did I miss, please?
Kelly S.
Kelly E-Y-S, okay. Anybody else? I've got Priscilla H., Rachel K., Bonnie B., and Kelly S. Who else would like to share this morning? All right, let's start off with that lineup. Priscilla H., followed by Rachel K. Good morning, Priscilla.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm grateful to be recovered physically as much as this almost 88-year-old body is going to do, and recovering in every other way New Jersey. I've been looking forward to this little reading today for several days now. It's so exciting to me. The part that jumps out at me is the way he established his relationship with God, as the lead speaker talked about. I had this book barely touched on my bookshelf for, 40 years probably, thinking that all those stories in the back were about how those people got sober. And they do tell how they got sober, some of them at great length and some of them barely touch on it, but they all, I think most all of them at least, share something about how they got sober. But since I've been coming to Vision and really reading what the book says for the first time and hearing the focus on what the book actually says, I've discovered that it's not just about how they got sober. It's about how each one of them established their relationship with the higher power of their understanding, which the book at this point uses the word God. Whatever word a person uses for that is a very individual thing. I like to refer to my BFF, because I never had a BFF until I began to establish a relationship with the God of my not completely understanding. I'll never completely understand, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. The important thing is that we have a conversation going on pretty much all day, every day, my BFF and I. So with that, I'll pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Priscilla H. Now we have Rachel K., followed by Bonnie B. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much. And thank you, Heidi. And Priscilla, thank you for saying exactly what I was going to say, but better than I'm going to say it. You really said, I was like, oh, yeah, I have read this since 1985, since I got my first big book, and I never noticed that it said, it didn't say, you know, these are stories of how people, you know, put down the booze. It says how people got their relationship with God. It never noticed that. So, you know, it's that weird magical big book trick where when it's sitting on your shelf and you pick it up again, all of a sudden it's got new words and paragraphs in it. So, yeah, and that, you know, I never thought, before I got recovered, I never thought that I would be one of those people who says God is my best friend. You know, I mean, I thought that's kind of hokey or whatever, but I can honestly say God is my best friend. God is not only my best friend, God is my perfect parent. Oh, and by the way, I don't remember if I said this is Rachel K. from Indiana. If I forgot to say that, sorry. But anyway, that God is my perfect parent, my perfect partner, and that, like, not only that I have to cultivate that relationship. And, you know, I've heard it said that the big book doesn't say a lot of stuff. It says the same stuff over and over and over in different ways. Basically, trust God, clean house, help others. And not only does it say it in the first 164 pages plus the doctor's opinion, it says it in the, this is how these people, you know, trusted God, cleaned house, and helped others. And as a result of that, you know, found their relationship with God. Because that's the purpose of this whole book. The purpose of the book is not to get me abstinent. It's to help me find that relationship, and then God gets me abstinent. Nothing that I did, nothing that I said, God gives me that gift. It's grace. And what the steps do is prepare me to receive that grace, prepare me to have this friendship, you know, because if I'm not in the right place to have this friendship, you know how it is with your friends. Like if I'm, you know, ignoring them, when they are trying to help me, I'm not going to have much of a relationship. If I am not open to God and God's help, you know, that relationship is not going to grow and blossom. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. from Indiana. Next up, we have Bonnie B., followed by Kelly S. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, my friend. Good morning, everyone. Beautiful opening, and how do you add to the shares already? Bonnie B., grateful, very grateful today. Recovered today by the grace of God. So much in this area. The focal point always starts and ends with God. But I think it's so interesting for me because we have 12,000 plus people on the member list. And these are the people that I connect with and need to connect with, because no matter where I'm at in my program, whether I'm riding high or not riding high, there are other people out there who are telling the exact same story. There are people who have gone before me. There are people who are, maybe a couple steps behind me, but we are doing this thing together. And the direction always is the same direction. Follow the directions. Why? So I can connect to God. Because if I don't connect to God, it's not going to happen. Experience has shown it over and over and over. When I think about, clear-cut directions, the big book gives us clear-cut directions. And the directions lead us back to the loving care of our Creator, who wants us to live free, whole, healthy. Why? So that we can be of maximum service to Him and other people. Not so I can be a number on a scale. Not so I can be a certain pant size. So I can live free, so I can be of service to other people and hopefully point them back to the same God that I serve, as in the only one that can set us free if we have this DNA. We've heard people say many times, when the student is ready, the teacher shows up. And, the previous speaker said, pick up the big book and, new words, new paragraphs. Wow. Isn't that the deal? Isn't that a God that's coming alive to us? Isn't that what it's all about? It's like, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. I pray on a daily basis that God would keep me aware of His presence, open my eyes to the things that I have not seen, to the things that are blocking me from drawing closer to Him. Again, so I can live free and be of service to others. The stories that we have in the book and the stories that we share with each other, they're meant to encourage us. And they all take us back to the same place. If we connect to God, He's going to do for us something we could never have done for ourselves. And then we get to be of service to Him and others. And there is no greater gift. Thanks again for your service, Lynn. And I'll pass with that. Blessings to you all.
Thank you, Bonnie B. in Florida. And now we have Kelly S. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, Lynn. It's so good to hear you moderating on the line. This is Kelly EYS, Tulsa, Oklahoma, recovered. Compulsive overeater and bulimic. Funny that everybody's sharing the same things and that the prior people have also been around for years, like myself, and just really jumped out about establishing his relationship with God. Like it was said, it's not about abstinence or weight loss, which I was in for decades, guys, and that's what I thought it was about. Maybe that's what I wanted, but that's what I thought it was about. And, the thing is, I had to realize, why do I need this relationship with God, right? I had to understand, I kept trying to understand this God thing. What I did need to understand is I did not have power. I could not stop compulsively eating and binging. I could not, get out of these bedevilments. I had no power. That's what I have to understand. And then I had to understand that this book says lack of power is our dilemma. So what I do know is I need a higher power. I need some power that can help me, right? And that's what these steps are about, to establish this power, this higher power that I don't have. That's why I need this relationship with God. So if you're new or you've been around, you're like, why do I have to do that? I just got a food problem because I don't have the power to stop it. Or I would have. I wouldn't be here for 41 freaking years if I had the power. I've tried everything, right? First, though, clear-cut directions. What? These are directions in this big book? I had several of these books. There's no directions. Well, I never read it. Like an instruction manual. I'm jumping around in my math book wondering why I didn't understand math, right? And if you read it from the beginning, and the important part I want to point out is the doctor's opinion. Start with those clear-cut directions, right? Right in the beginning, we have a physical allergy, guys, separates us from the regular person. So it tells us a man's brain must be clear, right? Entire abstinence. That's probably the beginning of the clear-cut directions that I missed because I kept wanting to work the steps to get abstinent. Guess what? Couldn't do it, right? And then we have recovered. That's a promise. That's a promise in this book, that we are going to have recovered from a seemingly helpless state of mind and body. So I'm doing this work. I'm putting down the food. I'm following their directions, because there are directions, because I lack power. And I have to establish this power. And the only way I found to do that was putting the food down, working these steps, hanging on with you guys, and connecting with this higher power, with this God, because that's what this book is all about. And I missed that for 30-something years. Grateful today that I realized what the solution is. And the problem wasn't food, it was my spiritual malady. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Kelly, EYS from Oklahoma. All right, now we will open the line again for sharing on what we just read. And if you joined us a little bit later, what we did read was page 29 in There is a Solution, the first paragraph, starting with further on clear-cut directions, reading through two paragraphs, ending with what has actually happened. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. So who would like to share, please?
Jim S. in Rhode Island.
Melissa C.
Amy G.
Okay, there was somebody from Rhode Island. Who was that, please?
Felicia D.
Felicia, are you? Okay, thank you.
Did you get Amy G?
I did, thank you. I have Felicia, Jim S., Amy G., and Russ M. Who am I missing, please?
Penny C.
Penny C.
Melissa.
And who else?
Melissa C.
Oh, Melissa, thank you. Didn't write you down. And who was the last name, please?
Dana P.
Jerry M. Okay, one moment, please. We've got a full lineup here. And the person whose last initial is M, I'm missing your first name, please.
Sherry with a C. Cherie. Sherry with a C.
Okay, great. So this is who I have. I have Felicia, Jim S., Amy G., Russ M., Penny C., Melissa C., Sherry M., and Dana P. All righty. Felicia, could you please get us started, please? And if you could give me your last initial and where you're from. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Felicia D. as in Dor from Rhode Island. And I just wanted to jump on the bandwagon about the clear-cut directions. I didn't want to follow directions. I didn't want to have to be like, you guys, I really wanted to be able to come here, get a food plan, and go back to my original 12-step program, that I wasn't following the directions the way that I do today. So I'm grateful. I can't believe this for the first time in my life, probably. Grateful to be a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, so that I had to come here and work this program the way that it's laid out in the book. And I feel profoundly grateful that there are a set of instructions that were created for people who weren't going to have sponsors, and created for people where meetings didn't exist and recovering people didn't exist, and we could still have access to God. You know, when I came into the program this time and I was just completely living in the bedevilment, I had a sponsor who said she worked a really rigorous program, and after she gave me her non-negotiables, had me spend a couple hours with my higher power and with my husband to make sure that it was something that I could do. And I finished the work that she's provided for me, and the work that's in the book. So I'm on step 12 and finished the step 12 work, and have had a profound spiritual awakening. I can feel that God is the hero of my story. I can feel peace where I used to feel anxiety and terror. I can wake up and be separated from my thoughts. I can have a second thought when the first one is diseased, and recovery can be part of it. I can pause and I can go to God. I can realize like I'm doing stuff, and I can ask God to help remove it, and I can try to get back to my ideals. And right now, my twin grandbabies are about to descend on me, so I won't be selfish and continue to talk, and I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Felicia D. in Rhode Island. Next up, we have Jim S., followed by Amy G. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. My name's Jim S. I'm in Toledo, Ohio. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And I got my start on page 86, where it says, before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking. And I was in an OA meeting, and I was thinking about drinking. And he said, you know, come to me, Jim, and I'll help you. I eventually drank, but he didn't leave me. He didn't leave me to my own devices. He's been with me ever since. And so now where I'm at, I have to surrender. And I've been working on this for a week and a half now. And I'm surrendering to my higher power, because that's where I get my strength from. And it's separate from the connection I have on page 86. My God has come to me many years ago, 1984, and I have this connection with him. And I have to submit myself or surrender to him in order to find the courage and the serenity to work through each day. And I'm just so thankful that he was there for me when I needed him the most, and he stuck with me. So, I heard somebody say, surrender. And that's what it comes down to. We have to surrender and give up our ideas and just come into communion with him. So everyone have a good day, and I'm so glad to be recovered. I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim S. from Toledo, Ohio. Next we have Amy G., followed by Russ M. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Maryland. Great meeting y'all. Thank you so much for everyone's shares. So this idea of clear cut. So I think we just saw that, right? Prior paragraph, clear cut directions. And here we have a clear cut idea of what actually happened in their lives. So in my humble opinion, Bill is trying to say here that the directions are clear. And although we may come from all walks of life, right, in the beginning of this entire chapter, there is a solution. It says we are people who would not normally mix, but we are like passengers on a great liner the moment after rescue from the shipwreck. You know, we come from all walks of life, and yet the path is clear cut. We, as others have already shared, the goal is to find a power greater than ourselves to restore us to sanity, right? A relationship with a higher power, with a God. My higher power is God. So it's beautiful to me how he makes it, quote, very clear. And then he talks about the personal stories. I mean, if you think about it in the 30s, you know, like we are so blessed. We have meetings we can go to where we can relate. We can identify in. We can hear about other people's paths, right, to their God. And, you know, in the 30s, they didn't have that. So in the divinely inspired brilliance of this book, we have these personal stories that are filled with gems and nuggets of identification and how others people have found their recovery and their path to their power greater than themselves. Beautiful stories that allow us to identify in. And the power of identification is big. I mean, I think that's why Bill has his story right after the doc op. Here's the why and the what. This is what the disease is. This is what it's about, mental obsession, physical allergy. And here's my story that shows all of that in spades. And that's what these stories do in the back of the book. I mean, when I go through the 12 steps with sponsees, I encourage all of them to be reading these stories because they give us that power of identification and show us that the highway is broad, roomy, inclusive, and varied, and yet it's clear cut that the end result of that journey is to find a power greater than yourself to restore you to sanity. Just one of my favorite gems on page 386 in the story, Me and Alcoholic. And I'll wrap up with this. Here I found an ingredient that had been lacking in any other effort I had made to save myself. Here was power. Here was power to live to the end of any given day, power to have friends, power to have the courage to face the next day, power to help people, power to be sane, power to be sober. Moreover, I'm deeply convinced that so long as I continue to strive in my bumbling way toward the principles I first encountered in the earlier chapters of this book, this remarkable power will continue to flow through me. What is this power? With my AA friends, all I can say is that it is a power greater than myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy G. from Maryland. Next up is Russ M., followed by Penny C. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Lynn. What a meeting. Man, this is fire emoji, these chairs. This passage, you know, I read it and coming in, or even before I was coming in, the reason why I was all jacked up is because I didn't want to hear about no clear-cut directions. I had my own directions. I knew what the hell I was doing, and I didn't need any kind of program to set me straight. But my life fell apart, obviously, right? But what got me to those clear-cut directions were the stories, like Amy said. I'm a street kid. I like to hear the, you know, I like a good story. And my life was so hopeless and full of pain that when I start listening to podcasts or I would hear someone that was in program talk about how their life was changed, I'm like, how'd you get that, bro? Well, we have these clear-cut directions. So in my mind, if I wanted to have some semblance of peace and serenity in my life, I got to accept these clear-cut directions. And that's what this passage meant to me today, because that's how it went. I was a train wreck, and I didn't want anybody's opinion. I had it figured out while I was dying. And if I didn't identify so deeply with people that I should have nothing in common with, if that didn't happen, if somebody didn't 12-step me and share their experience, strength, and hope and how their life has been transformed, I wouldn't be talking today on this line. I'd be dead. And those stories got me to directions, and the directions gave me a little bit of a story. It ain't over, but it's definitely better than it was 7.5 years ago, I'll tell you that. So thank you for letting me share. Thanks for everybody that did service. I pass.
Thank you, Russ M. And now we have Penny C, followed by Melissa C. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. I love that term, clear-cut directions, because it's exactly what we find. I've been told that the clear-cut directions really begin on page 60 through page 103. It's right after the steps. We first see the 12 steps written in AA literature. And then Bill W. goes on to tell us more about it. And he says one of the things in that first paragraph on page 60, do not be discouraged. So we're already warned that we may think, oh, this is too much, I can't do it. But he insists, do not be discouraged, that many of us have had the same thoughts. Then he goes on to tell us that we must be convinced that we were, in our case, compulsive overeaters and couldn't manage our own lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and that God could and would if he was sought. I often hear this described as the ABCs. And then it talks about, we go down a couple of paragraphs, and it tells us the first requirement. Now, we've been told these are suggestions, these are guides, but there's no misunderstanding that Bill is saying the first requirement, we must be convinced that if we think we can run our lives ourselves on our own will, then we're going to be defeated. And so all these pages go into various situations, and I know over the years that I've been in 12-step programs and working with others that there's probably no situation that can't be answered, no questions that can't be answered about how and why of the program is in these 43 pages. It was very wise of those first alcoholics, and Bill in particular, to tell us all we needed to know to be convinced in the first, how many pages, 40-some pages, including the doctor's opinion. But here we are, and this big book is just a treasure, a real treasure. And fortunately, I was introduced to this big book the first week I was in OA. I hear so many people say they knew about it, they left it on their shelves, it collected dust, they never read it. I've been reading it for more than three and a half decades, not only reading it, studying it.
Time, please.
I'm wrapping up. Thank you, Lynn. And I couldn't be more grateful to my higher power for leading me to this group and to this amazing, amazing book. I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C. Welcome, Melissa C. You're up next, followed by Sherry M. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Yeah, really good to hear you this morning. And I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, what I was initially going to say, I listened to what Amy had to say, and I flipped to that story in the book. And one of the things that struck me, which I think directly relates to this paragraph, was, you know, this man talked about establishing his relationship with God. I happened to just finish reading the story after Amy, you know, quoted it. And, you know, the rest of his story, he had many difficulties in his life. He lost his wife, his business, his child. He lost a child. All kinds of things, befell on him. But he said that his higher power was on deck to see him through sober. And that, you know, he continued on and other more positive things happened for him. And then he ended it with, "And should I have had more bad times, I know that I'll never have again have to go through them alone." And holy smokes, if that just doesn't, I don't know, I feel deeply emotional about that today. I want to talk about my relationship with God, because that has been, I thought I just wanted to, not be so damn fat. I didn't know that I hungered for a relationship with God, and that is actually what I've been longing for my whole life. And, you know, I recently have had some difficulties, like normal human difficulties, and I had a conversation with one of my brothers who I was feeling, rejected by or saddened by, and he loves me, and we love each other, and he said to me something, and it just crushed my heart. He said that, "Melissa, I know that you think there's a God. There is no God. It's just a trick. You just decided that you were going to go with this trick, and we as humans have had this flaw in our evolution where we suddenly realize our own mortality, and it scares us, so we needed to make up God." And he said this, and I looked at him, and he said, "And we use that to comfort us." And I said to him, like, it floored me, had to become from the same home. I said, right, the way you're thinking does not comfort me. That does not bring me comfort. And I'm so glad that I am the hopeless variety. I'll tell you that I am the hopeless variety that I needed to establish a relationship with God, because food was never really my problem. I laugh at that now, thinking that's what drew me here. And you know, that was just the entryway. That was how I believe God had the opportunity to tap me on the shoulder and say, you know, come on, Mel, come on. And, you know, and I put the food down, and I followed the clear-cut direction, and I have a relationship today with power. That, I know my time is over, but I'll just tell you, that relationship with power is the most important thing in my life today, without exception. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. And now we have Sherry M., followed by Dana P. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry M. from Naples, Florida, recovered compulsive overeater. Really glad to be here. Love the statement, clear-cut direction. Just to my cross-reference my book years ago with all about direction. So if you take a look at page 42, it says, they then outlined the spiritual program and the program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. And then if you look at page 58, it says, second paragraph down, if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. And then page 85, and it says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. We have carefully followed directions. And then I believe in the, XIII, it says, I have too many pages. I'll go back to page 94. Couldn't find that one. The top of 94, it says, outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal and how you straightened out your past and why you're now endeavoring to be helpful to him. And then page 121, it says, we realize that we have been giving you much direction and advice. And so this whole book is just so peppered how we get out and under from this addiction and really get to heal our fractured selves and reestablish our connection with the power of the universe. And it's much easier to rely on the stuff that makes the flowers bloom than me doing it myself. So thank you so much for letting me share. Happy to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry M. And now we have Dana P. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for leading the meeting today. And Heidi, your lead in. But I mean, every single person, I'm just in awe right here. And I think I don't know what it was on the sixth page. I don't have the book with me, but what popped in my head, it's really hard to not crosstalk because we're all doing the same deal here. Rarely have we seen a person fail. Who has thoroughly followed these steps. And we're talking about the 12 steps, obviously, those clear-cut directions, the stories. And, you know, so I'm looking at the directions and the stories. We all have a story. And that's what it is that connects us. You know, we were hopeless. This is what we did. We did what the book said. And now we have hope. And for many of us, myself included, we have a beautiful hope, and it is amazing. And what that is discovering, uncovering, if you will, that deep down within every man, woman, and child, the fundamental conception, and really, truly connecting with that fundamental conception of God. I've heard it said that the first three steps are connection, the steps 4 through 9 are correction, and 10, 11, and 12 are direction. And before I came in here, all I could hear was the noise, the worldly clamors, if you will. My crazy head, you know, I call it the troll, the obsession of the mind, the character defects or shortcomings, liabilities, that just kept me busy in my head, and so much noise that I couldn't hear that deep down inside, that still small voice. And what I discovered as I followed the directions, 1, 2, 3, and especially 4 through 9, that stuff got really quiet. So following the directions of what was seemingly external led me to the directions coming from an internal place. And now that's how I live my life. Not perfectly, certainly not. And our book says progress, not perfection. And that's talking about my spiritual progress, not doesn't have to do with the addiction in the terms of the physical. It has to do with my spiritual recovery, emotional, psychic, all of that recovery that's deep down inside me. So now, like I say, not perfectly, but I hear that still small voice. And I follow, I obey. And if I don't obey, that's when I suffer. So I'm just really grateful to this meeting. It's amazing. I think I'm going to go back and listen again. Thanks again, Lynn, and thanks to everyone on the line. Everybody have a great day.
And thank you, Dana P. We have time for one more 3-minute share. Who would like that time, please?
Ramona A.
Ramona, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ramona A., a recovered compulsive overeater in Vermont. And when I look at the big book and the stories, I love human interest stories. That's what I read mainly, you know, if it's autobiography or biography, you know, whatever. And I never read the stories in the big book. In fact, I never even read the big book until about 8 years ago, because when I came into OA in 1990, there was only, where I lived, there was only the OA literature, and no one talked about using the big book. I did, you know, I did get a good sponsor, and she brought me through the steps, and I stayed abstinent and did this. You know, did the steps, did the 12 steps and sponsoring and all of that. But later, you know, after a few years, I dropped OA altogether for some other interest. And of course, that didn't work. Everyone knows how much that didn't work. And when I came back, it was still just the OA literature until I found out about this meeting. I was told about this meeting and how, you know, the big book is being used. So I came in and I was told right away as we went through day after day after day, you know, one sentence, one paragraph at a time, and people talked about their stories and their lives and what they had gotten from this, I began to hear about those clear-cut directions. I began to hear that I had an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. I kind of figured that out for myself, that I was obsessing, et cetera. But to know that it absolutely went together as one package in this illness, that was what was really good. And then that the steps, which I knew by heart, you know, it worked as described here. And I'd worked them in many ways, but I'd not worked them like this. And when I did, that made the difference. That for some reason it made all the difference. And being with, hearing other people talk about it, talking with other people about that and how these directions are there and that connection with God. And I had had the connection all my life, but it was, I hadn't brought it into the food. You know, I just didn't think that God was going to take this out of me. You know, I'd like to say, God, poof, you know, and make me thin, but that I didn't even try that. I knew that wasn't going to work. That wasn't you know, that wasn't a mode of prayer, really. So I worked the steps, and I did not only lose the weight and become abstinent, then I became recovered. And the deeper I worked with it, the more recovered I became. And that's, you know, what one of our readings says, the more fully our surrender, the more fully our recovery from food addiction.
Time, please.
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to say, everyone, you're new, just keep coming back. So thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Ramona A. from Vermont. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Wednesday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Wednesday, July 3rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 21542. That's 21542. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Larry K., could you please read for us? Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Lynn. Sure. Best of only. We realize we know everything, everywhere, all at once. Okay, no, I don't. I know just a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until